your tongue and your capacity to speak words and call names that are accurate has come back to you through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God is within you, and God can rule within you, and you can learn and you can grow every single day in your tongue speaking life.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. I'm Daniel Britt, and we're all set to hear Alan's message from Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in a series called Just Say It. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource available to you right now for your gift to Sharing the Light this month. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org. or by phone at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here now is Alan Wright.
What you actually believe in your heart, you speak about these things. You can't separate these things. Of course, James 3 famously speaks of this. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they're so large and driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Just one little rudder will steer a huge ship. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. So God designed us to have power in our words and then told us over and over, over and over and over in the Bible about how powerful our words are. I think it's important, if you want to think more deeply about why they are so powerful, to consider words as symbols. Now, symbols stand for something. And when that symbol is strong, that symbol carries with it the freight or the weight of that which it symbolizes. We know this because our world is so confused right now that, as I said earlier, we're calling things what they're not, and people are rising up to say, no, you can't call me that. Why do they care so much? Because the symbol is too intimately aligned with the essence. And so to speak the word as a symbol is to carry the weight of the essence. A young 24-year-old man named Franco last week came forth with a winning lottery ticket worth $768 million, 24 years of age. He was cute. He said he went to work the day after he discovered that he had the winning ticket. He said, but I couldn't even think straight, and I was in a cold sweat the whole day, worrying about the ticket, that somebody would steal it or it would get lost or something. And I understand, because the way the thing works is you get a little piece of paper, and I think it has a barcode on it and numbers, I guess. And that little piece of paper, once it was the winning ticket, was worth $768 million. And if it's lost or stolen or gone, you don't have, there is no other plan. You can't claim it online. You got to have the ticket. And so his ticket was a tiny piece of paper that was a symbol of his wealth. And you could say, well, it's just a piece of paper, that little symbol. Well, on one hand, as a piece of paper, it's worthless. It's less worth than zero. It's less than zero because you got to throw it away and somebody's got to be paid to take it to the recycle or the dump or something. It's worth less than $0 as a piece of paper, but as a symbol of what he just won, it is actually worth $768 million. So you would never say, oh, it's just a piece of paper. You would say, that ticket, it's not the $768 million, But the $768 million is so closely aligned with it that you can't separate the two. That's the way it is with your words. Your words are not the essence, but your words are so powerful that they carry with it the essence. That's why if a parent calls a child stupid, it's not the essence of that child's intelligence, but the symbol of it is so powerful with so much authority that once embraced and ingested into the child would live that out. But if you speak to someone and say, you're a blessing, that little word blessing might be a symbol, but with it, you carry the whole freight of the power of God to love and transform a life and use somebody, anybody at all, for his purposes to be a blessing in this world. Your words are infinitely powerful. Language is powerful because it is one of the ways we're like God. Maybe the most important way that we are like God. No other creature was made in God's image. We alone are the pinnacle of his creation. Animals can't speak like us. There's a vast amount of scholarship about language. And I know that porpoises make little sounds to each other and monkeys do things. But the complicated speech that is human is completely unknown to any other type of creature. It is so fascinating. We are wired to be able to speak. One of the most prominent scholars in the field of linguistics, Noam Chomsky, the famous linguistics expert, has argued that humans are born with language acquisition device, LAD, that somehow a structure in the brain is hardwired with a universal grammar, he argues, that the idea of a child being born as a blank slate is just insufficient to explain how it is that a child could learn language. Because if you think about it, beloved, this is just completely mind-bending, that a tiny little baby comes into the world and all on his or her own, just by being around, alive in the world, develops the capacity for one of the most complicated mysteries that we know of, and that is human speech, and pretty soon is putting together complicated sentences and expressing ideas through human speech. How do we do that? How do we do that? I went and took 7 years of Spanish, and all I can say is hola. And a baby comes in and can just learn to talk. And buenos dias. It makes us human. Helen Keller, blind, deaf, and mute, said that for nearly 6 years, I had no concept of nature or mind or death or God. I literally thought with my body. Then suddenly I awoke to language, to knowledge of love, to the usual concepts of nature, of good and evil. I was actually lifted from nothingness to human life. What makes us most human is what also makes us most like God. He can speak and we can speak, and his words have power and our words have power. And so when God brought these animals in front of Adam, God was saying, this is going to be a delight to watch because I am authorizing him to be able to call these their names because he'll be able to see what they are. And Adam was not confused. But when sin entered the world, we became very confused. Essentially, the agenda of hell is to get you to call something by the wrong name. That tree, did God really say? And the tree that was forbidden was called appealing. And ever since, everyone born in sin struggles to call things what they really are. To mislabel is to project a wrong identity, and identity determines destiny. The value of a thing is related to what it is called. If you had a Van Gogh original masterpiece and didn't know it because somebody else had signed it Fred Jones, and you thought all you had was an original Fred Jones, well, you might throw it away. But if somebody who was an art expert and came and said, you've got an original Van Gogh, and you say, well, but it says on here, Fred Jones. You say, well, it's been mislabeled. It has not been signed properly. It's actually a Van Gogh. Well, then you would be wealthy. And so hell wants to label you incorrectly and would like for us to label others incorrectly so that we would restrict their destiny.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
I am Daniel Britt here with Pastor Alan Wright. These days of global pandemic are dark and difficult, but there's a bright light of global hope today. Today is a worldwide day of giving and unity. The national organization Giving Tuesday, which famously sponsors Giving Tuesday in November, has promoted today as an additional day of giving.
Well, thank you, Daniel. We're so happy to be participating in a global day of giving and hope and unity. Right in the middle of worldwide pandemic, there is worldwide giving taking place today, and what a blessing that is. We at Sharing the Light are excited about these days of the proclamation of the gospel. When people are sheltering in place, they are more poised to hear the truth than ever, and there is spiritual thirst all over the world. When you give to Sharing the Light, you are enabling us to proclaim the gospel to tens of thousands of people on the radio, internet, and in print every day, every week of the year. Like so many ministries, Daniel, these are financially challenging times for Sharing the Light. We need to be open about that. And we can remain financially strong, but it's going to take help from all of our friends and partners, and from many, perhaps who haven't partnered with us before, on this global day of unity, giving, and hope. We thank you for your partnership in the gospel.
Again, to participate in today's Day of Giving, sharingthelight.org, or by calling right now, 877-544-4860, 877-544-4860, sharingthelight.org, or 877-544-4860.
You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
If you're going to have dominion, as God gave to Adam and Eve and said, have dominion in the earth, which means to have a place of authoritative rule in the world. I made you a little lower than the angels in my own image, and now I release you, I bless you, and I want you to have dominion. Rule wisely. Be good stewards of the earth. Live out a destiny. But if you're going to do so, you need to be able to call things what they really are. If you're going to be able to lead well in your family, for example, and have dominion as a parent, it's essential that you call your children what they really are. I essentially just tried to parent by calling my children what they really are. My wife was the best when the children would do something really foolish and you just had that moment of frustration. You just want to call them the wrong name, but she wouldn't. She'd say, God gave you a wonderful brain. Now use it. It's a far better thing when someone is acting up to say, this is not who you are, than to call them the wrong name. To call someone the wrong name is to breed fear everywhere. I don't know anything about snakes, so I hate all snakes. If the snake is brown at all, to me, that's a copperhead. I don't even know if we got rattlesnakes, but if it's even shaking around a little bit, that must be a rattlesnake. And if it's in the water, it's a water moccasin. Those are the only snakes I know about. But a real snake expert sees a snake and says, that's not a copperhead at all. That's a There's several of them that look just like it. Said, that's harmless. That person might say, leave that snake alone. It'll kill the mice in your yard. It'll take care of things for you. Leave it alone. I can't do that. I just like, no, that could be a copperhead. If you don't know what something is, you don't know what to do with it. Now, if it really is a copperhead, you need to know what it is. Call it a copperhead and be done with it. Get somebody else to be done with it. Or just run away, whatever it might be. It means that what we have to learn, beloved, is that there's a huge distinction between what someone does and who they are. Which leads me to some really, really important point, and that is that God wants you to call yourself by the right name. Yeah. So I make mistakes, but I'm not a mistake. I fail at things, but I'm not a failure. And beloved, I still sin, but I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. And if you're in Jesus Christ, you're not an old sinner struggling to get by. You're a holy one. And you're set apart unto God, redeemed of Him, chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. My job's easy. All I have to do is call God who He really is. And every chance I get, call you who you really are. That's really what we do. No matter where you're leading or whose life you're influencing, the way you speak to yourself will determine the way you think about yourself. And one time I remember when Bennett was little, he'd hit a bad golf shot and he said, I stink. And he came over to me later and he said, Dad, is it a sin to say I stink? And I said, well, is it a sin to tell someone else that they stink? He said, yeah, probably so. I said, well, there you have your answer, because you're a human being also. Curse and blessing, Scripture says, it shouldn't be able to come out of the same mouth. And this means, beloved, also that it's very important who you let speak into your life. Very important. I know I'm speaking directly, but let me just put it this way. Don't let someone who has less faith for your life speak into your life. Don't let someone who has a lesser vision of your life be the one to determine how you think about your life. But get yourself around somebody who has enough of God's word and enough sense of the possibilities that come with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that when they speak, they can see things into your life. And when you get around those that are mislabeling, and I know it's difficult because you may have some in your own workplace, your own family, and I can't just get away from all of this. Well, you don't have to say it out loud, but you can whisper it. You can say it to yourself, I don't receive that. And remind yourself who you are. So what God did about this was He saw that Adam, who once knew how to call things what they were and then lost it when sin came in the world because of distorted thinking, He said the way to correct this is I'm going to send another Adam. And I'm going to send someone who will live a sinless life and will perfectly be able to see into what things are. And Jesus came as a second Adam and He knew what everything was. He knew if something was a hurricane and it needed to be rebuked, or if it's just a little storm that was going to pass and you just enjoy it. He knew whether something was a demon that needed to be cast out, or a disease that needed to be healed, or just a bad mood that you need to ignore. Jesus knew what things were and He called things what they were. And sometimes He called things pretty harshly. The Pharisees were whitewashed tombs, and everybody thought, oh, the Pharisees, they're wonderful. Look at them, they're wonderful. They're the ones that are so religious. Jesus said, no, they're not. And yet there'd be a woman that was called an adultery, and He'd call her daughter. And there was a man that was going to deny Him three times and betray Him, and yet He called him a rock. Because Jesus could see into things, and He can see into your life, and He can see exactly who you are and call you exactly who you are. And because Jesus came, and His tongue was perfect, the Word of God had become flesh. Anybody who trusts in Jesus Christ is redeemed by His shed blood, and you in Christ, engrafted into Him, are given restoration. And what it means is that your tongue and your capacity to speak words and call names that are accurate has come back to you through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God is within you, and God can rule within you, and you can learn and you can grow every single day in your tongue speaking life. You're born again in the second Adam. And so you can call things by what they really are. And it means you can be used by God to change somebody's life every single day. And it's not hard. I was reading this week of a true story of a man was sitting in a restaurant nearly 100 years ago, this story, and was just talking to a stranger. And he said to the stranger, he said, "You see those hillsides over there?" It was somewhere in Tennessee. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I know a boy that grew up over in those hillsides, really poor, and he didn't have a father. And everywhere he'd go, people would say, 'Well, who's your father?' And he'd just be so embarrassed about it. And the kids picked on him and said, 'Who's your daddy?' And he didn't have one. And so he was so ashamed about all of this. It was a great problem and fear of his life. And one day he was at church, and there was a new pastor at church. And the pastor was meeting people as they're exiting church. And the pastor was talking to the little boy. And he said, 'Well, who's your father?' And everybody around got silent because they knew he just touched upon the greatest pain in this little child's life. And the pastor immediately realized it and caught himself. And he said, 'Oh,' he said, 'Wait a minute, never mind.' He said, I see the resemblance. I know who you are. Your father's God. You're a child of God, aren't you? You've got a wonderful destiny. You be sure and claim it there, young man.' And this fellow said to the stranger, he said, 'You know, I don't think that boy would have grown up to amount to anything if that preacher hadn't said that day.' And the man walked out, and the stranger turned to the waitress that was there and said, 'Who is it?' She said, 'Well, everybody knows that man. That's Ben Hooper, the former governor of Tennessee.' Could one word change somebody's life? Yes, it can. Change your words and change your world. That's the gospel.
Alan Wright. Today's teaching is Name Calling, the Creative Sustaining Power of Word in our series, Just Sayin'. Please stay with us. Pastor Alan is back with us in the studio, sharing a parting good news thought for the day here in just a moment. I am Daniel Britt here with Pastor Alan Wright. These days of global pandemic are dark and difficult, but there's a bright light of global hope today. Today is a worldwide day of giving and unity. The national organization Giving Tuesday, which famously sponsors Giving Tuesday in November, has promoted today as an additional day of giving.
Well, thank you, Daniel. We're so happy to be participating in a global day of giving and hope and unity. Right in the middle of worldwide pandemic, there is worldwide giving taking place today, and what a blessing that is. We at Sharing the Light are excited about these days of the proclamation of the gospel. When people are sheltering in place, they are more poised to hear the truth than ever, and there is spiritual thirst all over the world. When you give to Sharing the Light, you are enabling us to proclaim the gospel to tens of thousands of people on the radio, internet, and in print every day, every week of the year. Like so many ministries, Daniel, these are financially challenging times for Sharing the Light. We need to be open about that. And we can remain financially strong, but it's going to take help from all of our friends and partners, and from many, perhaps, who haven't partnered with us before on this global day of unity, giving, and hope. We thank you for your partnership in the gospel.
Again, to participate in today's Day of Giving, sharingthelight.org, or by calling right now, 877-544-4860, 877-544-4860, sharingthelight.org, or 877-544-4860. Back together with Pastor Alan, sharing today's parting good news thought for the day in our series, Just Saying.
You just have no idea how powerful one word you have for someone that you meet or someone that you love deeply. Because in the same way that God put creative force to the words, which he said, "Let there be light," there is a sense of creative force to your words. And so you can learn in Christ to speak the mind of Christ and call others by who they really are, and it'll change their lives. And I think, Daniel, also importantly for all our listeners, to go to God's Word and hear what God has to say. What does He call you? That's what matters in the end.
This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.